Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Yeah, so man, we've been in this series that seems never ending, just to be honest with you. So I switched it again. So we've been in a series called Jesus Loves Me, because here's what I feel like. I feel like people don't understand the fact that Jesus really loves them. Like, I'm okay with God loves the world. I'm just not, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that Jesus really loves me, that God loves me. Like, I get John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I know that God loves the world. I struggle sometimes remembering that God loves me. But when we come back to the fact that we're sons and daughters adopted into His family, that, man, that changes the world. That changes the way we view the world. It changes the way we view ourselves. And so we really stepped into what all that meant. And then as we kind of came out of that, it's hard to remember those things if you don't take a rhythm of rest. Scripture said this, that there's a rhythm of grace. There's a rhythm, I think, not just to grace. I think there's a rhythm to life. And the rhythm is found not only in the beat, but in the pause. And so I can tell you personally that I've really leaned into rest. And I like it. No, it was weird, awkward at first. I told you it was like an odd first date, learning how to rest again. But as I've come not only to rest, but to Sabbath rest. So yesterday, my wife was gone. My son was working. It was just me and the dog at the house. So I put the dog in the backyard, and I grabbed a chainsaw, which is scary in and of its own right. And I went around, and I cut down copious amounts of trees. And I was exhausted when I was done. But there's something, and men or women who run chainsaws will understand this. There's something therapeutic about deforestation. I mean, I'm just saying that there's something about it. And but here's the problem if we stay too long in me. If we only talk about what God is doing in your life, if we only talk about the change that needs to happen in your life, then what happens is we become very me-centered. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a church that's very me-centered, but it's not a church you want to be at. Matter of fact, the book of Acts said this, after the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit, after Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came, that the church had all things in common. And for a long time, I struggled with that because I'm like, that sounds like communism, and Jesus is not into communism, right? Like, I know some things. That it wasn't about an ideology of politicalness. It was about a heart towards each other. That they weren't forced to have all things in common. They loved each other so much that they cared so deeply about their brother and sister that they would do anything to help them. That they loved so, so, so deeply. And we're going to talk about unity probably in week 2. This is going to be a 3-week series, so I'm just going to warn you, if you want to skip, this isn't the one you want to skip. Not because it's a shout me down series, but this is a fundamental series. Because this has to do not only with what kind of church we're going to be, but what kind of person and what kind of Christ follower you're going to be. Because it's one thing to have your junk together. But if God healing and restoring and reviving your life to what it was really meant to be is only about you, you only have half the story. Somebody came up to Jesus one time and they said, "Hey, Jesus, let me ask you a question. What's the most important commandments?" Because see, under Levitical law, there was this big rules of do's and don'ts. And this guy, can I be honest with you? I'm probably this guy. Okay, Jesus, because I can't keep up with all this. I've got anybody. So it's tax season, and I hate tax season because I work for the church, but I'm considered self-employed. So I hired a CPA because we tried to let a friend of the family do it one time, and I would write the IRS checks and get checks back in the mail. And then I'd get nasty grams from the IRS, so I'd write them another check only to get a check. And it was horrible. And I really thought about getting out of the ministry totally because I couldn't deal with the IRS. I am way too pretty to go to jail. So I'm just saying, man. I finally found a CPA, and I called him, and all he does is pastors. And he said, "Look, man, here's what I want to do." He said, "I'm going to charge you a lot of money to do your taxes." Thank you. He said, "But here's the deal: you don't worry about it anymore. You do what I tell you to do. You worry about what I tell you to worry about. Let me deal. I'll take care of everything else." Okay. Because I don't understand anything about the IRS. Well, I don't understand anything about government. Can I just be honest? Like, so here's the thing. So what happened was, this guy came to Jesus and said, Jesus, look, I can't keep up with all the Levitical law flying around here. Like every time and they're making them up as we go too, right? Like nothing we can identify with. And he looked up at Jesus and said, well, Jesus, can you do this? Can you just sum up the law? Like if you're only going to keep part of it, can you just tell me what's important and let me not worry about the rest of it? I identify with that a whole lot. And Jesus said, okay, here's the thing. Everybody pay attention. If you're only going to keep two commandments, I'm writing this down because we just went, I think there were like 100 and some Levitical laws, not counting all the extra ones, societal and all that, just Levitical laws you had to keep. Here's two. I can do two. I can even do 10. Don't give me more than that. Jesus said this. He said, first thing, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with everything that's inside of you. He said, man, from your DNA out, love God. Okay, it'll take me a lifetime to do that, but I can do that. He said, and the second one is as unto the first. The second law that I'm going to give you is a mirror of the first. It's how you know you're getting the first right is when you get the second right. Love your neighbors yourself. And I love the dude's next question. He goes, oh, Jesus, who's my neighbor? Short answer, everybody. People you like, the people you don't like. The people you can stand, the people you can't stand. So I sat back and I was like, man, maybe the next step in the evolution of our church, maybe the next step in the evolution of our faith journey is this. That I'm my brother's keeper. That I really am my brother's keeper. Now, I'm going to challenge the slide folks just to keep up because I'm not going to turn around and read this first one because it's a lengthy passage. So I went all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read 10 verses, 1 through 10. So Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 10, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And it says this, now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore a child, saying, I've begotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord as an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions, and the Lord regarded Abel for his offering. But for Cain, he offered no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face falling? If you do well, will it not be accepted? He looks at him and says, why are you pouting at me? I told you to give me a livestock offering and you brought me vegetables. Isn't it funny how instantaneously people that get mad at God begin to take it out on other people? I love the fact that it said his face fell. You can tell a lot by the expression on somebody's face. You ever walk by somebody and went, nope. That's not a friendly person. Have you ever looked for help in a store? Like you need a price check and you walk up to the first one, you look at them and you're like. Let me ask you a question. Is the same not true inside the family of faith?
Yes.
Anyway. Would it not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must overrule it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Now, when they talked, what kind of talk do you think that was? What do you think the talk was about? Somewhere along the way, you know, old frowny face starts getting hateful with his brother. His brother looked at him and said, man, what is your problem? I didn't bring, you know, vegetables to the table. God asked for meat, which is another reason I can never be a vegetarian because I want to please the Lord. But anyway, he said, God didn't even want vegetables. I'm just saying, and he made them. So I'm totally playing. But anyway, so there, this fight ensues. And it says this, it said, and Cain spoke to his brother Abel, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying up for me from the ground. He asked a question. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "Yeah. Yeah. You are. 100%. You're your brother's keeper. Because what's going on in his life and even in his death cries out to me, because you're on earth to help your brother." But here's the question I want to ask you, man. In Adam and Eve's life, do you think this is the first time they saw Cain going sideways? Was this just all of a sudden Cain went from being the good son to "I murdered my brother in the field"? But here's the thing. You hear Eve talk about the beauty of conception, the joy of giving birth, but you don't hear anything else until Cain goes off the rails. I'll take you to another place in Scripture. Matthew chapter 26, 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 26, verses 24 and 25. Love this. So the Son of Man goes as it is written, but woe be unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better if that man had never been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And Jesus said to him, "You have said so." We're at the Last Supper, and Jesus said, "Man, there's going to be somebody here who betrays me. It'd be better for that man never to be born." And Judas speaks up and goes, "Boo. Is it me?" Jesus looks at him and says, "You said so. You said so just by asking the question." But here's my real question. Here's my real question. Do you think this is the first time the 12, 11 not counting Judas, figured out that Judas was squirrely? That Judas was walking around. I mean, Judas arguably was probably skimming from the... Most theologians believe this, that Judas sold Jesus out and thought he was only going to get whipped for the 30 silver coins so that he could put money back into the coffers because he had stolen from the ministry. But here's the question. Do you think it's the first time that anybody saw this behavior in Judas? Here's what I believe. I believe that behavior tends to show itself long before it gets bad. I use this analogy in our leaders meeting. If you're a car guy, any rust is bad rust. Like rust doesn't ever get better. It's cancerous. Car guys are getting passionate now. They're like, "You kind of lost me on the Jesus part, but you get to rust. Now I understand what you're talking about." And that's great, man. No, I'm good with it. Because there are two ways that you treat rust. Either you sand it out, which is abrasive, or you cut it out. But if you leave it alone, it will only get worse. So one of the questions we have to ask is not what kind of life you want to live, but what kind of church are we going to be? Are we going to be a church that not only understands, man, I'm a child of the Most High God. I understand the rhythm of rest. I understand what I'm called to be. I understand that I have vision for my life. I understand everything that we learned in that series, right? But also, I am my brother's keeper. And if I see behavior in myself or in my brother that is negative, I'm going to gently lean into it. This is great if you're the leaner. This can be offensive if you're the lean-e. But here's the question. Are you interested in being right? Or are you interested in being right with God? Do you know why most people... get into certain behavior types? And one of the specific ones I'm going to talk about to lead us off is gossip. Do you know why most people gossip? It's pride. I want to know more than what everybody else knows. It's either pride or judgment, or I want to sit in judgment on the situation so that I can tell you who's right or wrong. Oh, can I just say this? The book of Judges has already been written. God ain't really asking for judges inside the body of Christ. He said, "I am the judge. Y'all just brothers and sisters." Now, I grew up with three sisters. I've got three older sisters. I've got one sister that's 2 years older than I am. One sister that's, as I look at my youngest sister, 6 years older than I am. And then one that's 8 years older than I am. If not, whatever, they're older than I am. So we're very staggered, which is great. I love my sisters. But here's the thing. So my oldest sister thought that I was her child for years, till I was 20. Literally, when I was a child, my sister would take me to my mom and go, "Will you watch him for me for a few minutes so that I can go play?" My mom was like, "I will watch him, but that is not your child." Here's the thing. They ended up having to have this conversation about what it means to be a brother and sister versus a parent. What I'm leaning into is we're to challenge each other as brothers and sisters, but not as parents. Does this make sense? When we see behavior, my youngest sister had a way with me. She still does. When I would go off the rails, she would look at me and go, "Are you sure that's what you're supposed to be doing?" Before I got married, my sister and the Holy Spirit, they sounded a lot alike. Now that I'm married, the Holy Spirit and my wife tend to sound a lot alike. All the men in the house said, "Amen." Because your wife will say something, you'll be like, "God, I'm pretty sure that's you, but you're just talking through her." But my sister would say stuff like, "Hey man, are you sure that's what you want to do?" You know, if mom and dad find out, they're going to be real disappointed. Because she would catch the behavior when it was rust, or when it was just a little surface rust, not when it was rot. Now, when it comes to the way we deal with our brothers and sisters in church, man, I would rather catch it at surface rust than when the church begins to rot. I would rather catch it in your life when it's just a little surge, just a conversation here or there, that we can go, and it's done. Does that make sense? So I sit there and I go, man, what does God really say when it comes to gossip, right? What does God really say when it comes to our mouth? What do I do when people gossip around me? So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I love this. Man, I love this, I love this, I love this. It says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. Let no corruption come out of your mouth." Don't let anything that comes out of your mouth be surface rust. Don't let what you do turn into surface rust in somebody else's life. Don't let whatever you do, don't let it cause anything negative to come in somebody else's life. But everything that you say, let it build up. Man, you want to talk about building yourself? Find out how to say something negative in a positive way. What I want to say is I'm about to pinch your little head off. How do I say this positive to my child? Now, son, now I'm working with God. I'm not striving with God. Let me not say anything that causes decay in the lives of the people around us, especially not inside the household of faith. He said this. He said, let me start over. He said, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as gooding up, as good for building up, as fits the occasion." Sometimes the occasion is for you to keep your mouth shut. That's edifying at times. Have you ever been at a family dinner and somebody said something and you're like, and you shoved a bunch of food in your mouth because you're like, "I'm not getting into this jank at all." Right? Like we just went, and generally it's one sentence and you're like, "Oh, get ready." Because our family went from relatively normal to Jerry Springer in one freaking sentence. What is it Jeff Foxworthy said? It said, if you're ever arguing with your wife, "Well, we can always live like your fat alcoholic mother." He said, that is good for like a 3-week fight. We know that there's things that we can say in certain occasions that will not bring the body up. Sometimes the thing that we do is we don't say anything. He said that it may give grace to those who hear what you're saying. Man, I want what I say to be filled with such grace and such love and such building that I know the season. Remember when we talked about the rhythm of rest and we said, pause, pause, pause. Talk, shut up. Talk, shut up. Talk, shut up. Know the difference. Know which part of the beat God has you in. Is God asking me to lean into this, or is he asking me just to be like, how do I know the difference? Wisdom. Jesus said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let them ask for it. God will liberally give it to you. The problem is we think we have wisdom when what we have is ignorance. So when do I talk and when do I just keep my talk? I taught this in a series one time. Everything that we say must be true. But not everything that's true has to be said. I will not lie to you, but I may not tell you. Pastor, you mean you would? I'm not talking about the sin of omission. So there is a sin of omission where I should have given you details and I didn't and let you drive off a cliff. That's the sin of omission. Tracking? I'll teach on it later, I promise. I'm saying, man, sometimes, you know, has somebody ever pulled up in a car and it was like lime green with like, pink racing stripes and gold wheels on it? And they're like, what do you think about my cool ride? You really don't want me to tell you what I think about your cool ride. So my response may be, yeah, I bet you love it. That fits your personality. This car was made for you. Because I know what to say and what not to say. What if you let that translate to every part of your life? Lord, you know what? Let everything I say build people up, not tear them down. And let me also know the rhythm and the season. So if I have to say something slightly corrective to somebody, I know how to say it. Here's the next scripture. James 1:26. I love this. If anyone thinks he's religious, can I just say this? There are a lot of people who think they're religious. I know whole churches that are filled full of religious people. I'm not interested in working with a religion. I want to be a Christ follower, which means what Jesus does, I try to emulate it. My wife and I have been, Liz's wedding's coming up, and I'm trying to remember how to dance. Kelly graciously taught me the one, and I started back, Kelly, you'd be proud, at the one bounce, and don't judge me. Don't judge me at all. Now everybody's going to be looking at me. You're going to make it 10 times as worse. But so my wife and I were out on the back deck, and she's like, come on, just go with me. Just go. And then you got to understand something. I am the most rhythmically challenged person in this room, right? And it's kind of like the guitar. I can play all the chords. It's just the rhythm part that I struggle with. The top half of my body has rhythm. The bottom half is like going. And so my wife finally looked at me. We had fun. We did have fun. She's like, just follow me. And I'm like, I will follow you. Because I'm trying to find the rhythm that she has in her, like built into her DNA. I'm trying to find the holiness that God has built into his DNA. And sometimes my attempt to find his holiness is very awkward looking. But God's okay with my awkwardness as long as I'm trying. So I sit there and James says this. He said, if anyone thinks he's religious but does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. And that person's religion is worthless. Jesus said, James writes and says, man, and if you really want to find the rhythm of God's mercy and grace, then it's going to be found when you watch your tongue. It's okay to have a thought, you just don't have to share it. It's okay to have an opinion, but if it's in the wrong season, an opinion given in the wrong season is not good. It's like this, how many of you guys would love to receive a cake? Yeah. I don't know that there's a bad time to receive a cake, right? Well, what happens if your loved one just passed and somebody walks in and goes, but made you a cake? It's a good thing in the wrong season. Does this make sense? Be sure, even though it's uplifting, there's nothing wrong biblically with cake that I've ever found. There's nothing wrong with the word of correction, but it has to be in the right season. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion, but that opinion doesn't mean you have to share it. So what do we do when people try to gossip? Here's my belief. I believe that if we see or hear gossip or any sin and don't lean into it, and we don't let our brother or sister know that we're doing wrong, we're as guilty as the people who are doing it. I think that when we let sin run rampant and we don't lean into it in some way, we do wrong. we're as guilty as the person doing it. So does that always mean you say something? No, I believe there are four steps you can take. The first thing is you can say a lot by leaving. Hey, so did you hear? Where are you going? I don't want to hear. I had somebody that wanted to show me something over and over again, and finally I looked at my wife and I said, I'm going to have to tell them I can't do this, because what they want me to look at is not good for my soul. It's not dirty or anything, but it's just like, I don't need to take that kind of stuff in. I love music. I even love secular music. Hold the phone. I know. Pastor, you're not telling us anything new. We've heard your references, right? But here's the thing. There's some music I can't listen to. It's not good for my soul. So sometimes I don't need to say something. I just need to exit. The second thing is this. Is oftentimes people go, hey, man, did you hear about it? And I'll change this. I will redirect you in a minute. Hey, Pastor, so what do you think about? What do you think about, you know, Sonny? Well, you know what? Here's what I think. Hey, by the way, speaking of Sonny, this weather. Can you believe that so-and-so did that? You know what I can't believe? I can't believe that they make fat-free chocolate. Because if I'm eating chocolate, I want it to be fat. It can be pH fat. It can be FA fat. But I want it fat. Do you see how easy that is just to look at people and change it? No, what I was saying was I can't believe what's going on in their life. Well, what I'm saying is I can't believe what God is doing in my life. Tell me what God is doing in yours. The second thing is correct. I'm going to remind you of what Jesus said. Hey, look, I know you really want to talk about this, and I've tried to get away from it, but here's the thing. In order for us to talk about it, we're going to gossip, and Jesus said that that's something we should avoid. Well, how do I know if it's gossip? Am I part of the solution, or am I part of the problem? If you're talking to me, if we're not solving anything, then you're just telling me a story that I don't need to hear. Because here's the thing, gossip is good until it's about you. Always remember, because by preferring my brother, I put myself in my brother's shoes. What would it be like if I was the story? What would it be like if I was in need? Because this isn't just about gossip. We're going to go into a lot of different things. What if I was the one who was hungry? What would you want me to do? What if I was the one that was hurting? What would you want me to do? What if I was the one that was broken? What would you want me to do? What if I was the one that was sad? What would you want me to do? What if I was the one who was lost? What would you want me to do? What if I was the one willfully walking in sin? How would you want somebody to treat you? So I'm going to walk away. I'm going to redirect. I'm going to correct. The third thing I'm going to do is dismiss. You can unfriend people other places other than social media. I told somebody one time, I said, God did not give me a ton of spiritual gifts. One of the gifts he gave me was bye. Because if somebody, we've had several people come in here that were affluent or were some kind of way, and we had to lean in, and we gave grace for a long time. And then when I finally leaned in, I said, look, this isn't the behavior you're going to have here. And they're, well, if you don't like it, we can leave. Man, we're going to miss you. I had one guy got ready to leave, and he said, do you know how much money I give? I said, do you know how much I don't care? I'm not a hooker. No, I said it. Like, judge me how you want to. I'm not your pastoral hooker. So I don't care if you're giving fat stacks or you're giving thin stacks. I don't answer to you. Bye. I don't say that. Now, is that my first go-to? No, I have a much softer heart than that. But by the time we get to that place, the time correction's been given, if you come to me and you're constantly gossip, I'm going to look at you and be like, look, we're about to come to a separation point. Because what you're doing is not only bad for you, you're rusting my heart, but you're rusting them out. You're tearing them down. And I cannot stand right before God and stand in this conversation. So if either you change or I'm going to leave. Like, not just short term, this is bye. I'm going to miss you. I'm probably going to cry over you, but I can't do this anymore. Now, notice I put that at the end of the list. We don't lead off with that, right? So what else does the word say about gossip? Proverbs 10:18 says this, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, but whoever utters slander is a fool. You want to tell if you're talking to a fool? See who they're cutting down. Proverbs 11:13 says this. It said, whoever goes around slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy keeps trustworthy in spirit keeps things covered up. I'm going to talk about this in week three. Man, are you trying to reveal somebody's sin or are you trying to cover them up? Now, I'm not talking about abiding sin. I'm talking about, am I trying to help my brother heal and will I take one for them? Or am I trying to point out what everybody's doing wrong? Because there are two types of people when it comes to sin. There are people who abide everything. Well, it's just not my place. And that's not your place to judge them, but it's your place to go, hey, dude. Like if we're in the car and you're running 90, I'm going to be like, hey, cuz, it's a school zone. I mean, you driving, you know, ride it or wreck it. It ain't my problem. I'm just saying, you're doing not right. I may even go, let me out. Or, hey man, anybody know where King, North Carolina is? I never will forget. So I'm from the Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee line, and I have a brother-in-law that's from here. And my dad looked at him and said, hey man, now when you go through King, be real careful, because King is good at one thing. The speed limit drops, but your foot doesn't, and they sit and wait on you. And my brother said, I got it. He got it. He came in with a little pink piece of paper at Christmas and went, look what they gave me. And my dad said, I bet it was at mile marker blank. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I told you. And he's like, you know when I remembered? When that light came on behind me, I was like, I was supposed to slow down. Well, here's the thing. We can warn people, but we can't drive the car for them. Does this make sense? My only job is to be like, hey, cuz, stop. And I can't be a part of it, but if you want to do it, it's kind of like when you're following somebody and they drive stupid. I'm not going to drive stupid just because you are. So here's the other thing. We don't gossip so that we have space to help others with their burden. To gossip is to judge. Check this out. James 4:11. Do not speak evil against one another's brothers. And anyone who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Jesus said this, when you go around and you gossip about people, what you're actually doing is gossiping about God. You can't be a follower of the word and a gossip. Pastor, that's strong. I didn't say it. God said it. Well, how do I know if I am? Ask a couple of people. Well, look, you're going to get a pass. Well, I'm not going to be mad at you, but do I gossip? Not about a lot of stuff. What do I gossip about? Can I be honest with you? So when I started doing this, I'm like, man, I can preach this because I ain't got nothing to do with it. And then I found out there are a lot of little ways. Anybody ever planted bamboo? Bamboo will lay dormant under the ground for 3 to 5 years. But then once it comes up, it never stops. The devil will let a little sin fester under there, not doing a whole lot, for years. Until finally it manifests itself. And then it takes over because the enemy is never content to stay in one spot in your life. He doesn't care what area. For some people it's pornography. Some people it's gossip. Some people, we all have an area. The scripture says that we all have a sin that so easily besets us. You got something that you default to. Some people it's a bottle. Some people it's music. Some people it's women or men. But we all have it. Can we just be honest enough to when the Bible said you've got a sin that so easily besets you, it's not like God was wrong. But the problem is when you don't identify it and deal with it. And can I be honest with you? If it's the sin that so easily besets you, you have to deal with it for the rest of your life. You never mature past your default. Now you can begin to change your default so that it's not as defaulty, but it's always going to be there. I think that that's one of the things that Paul was talking about when he said, I have this sin that I prayed the Lord would take it away from me, but yet it's still a thorn in my flesh. I think he had this thing, and I've got my own opinions, but for some people, their default is anger. I cover my hurt with being mad. I cover my pain with being mad. I cover my fear with being mad. I cover my... So it's not just about gossip, but I want to focus on gossip because gossip has this impact into other people's life that's so great. Scripture says that, man, when we become a part of that, that we actually are judging Jesus. Why? Why does he say this? Because God created the person you're gossiping about. And to judge them is to judge the image and likeness of God. Why do I treat you so good? I'm my brother's keeper. Because you're my brother or my sister, and the good one, not the ones that get on your nerves. The one, like if you've got multiples, it's the one you really love. Some of you are laughing. Some of you have no idea because you're an only child. Galatians 6:2 says this. It says that I'm to bear one another's burdens. Your problem is my problem. Your fear is my fear. And I will pray with you and I will love you, but we will do it biblically. As a church, this is who we're going to be. We're going to be a church that doesn't gossip about people but bears your problems. We're going to pray over your problems. We're going to love our neighbors ourselves. We're going to do good to those who do bad to us. We're going to, right? This is in our DNA. You know why it's in our DNA? Because we're made in the image of the Most High God. Here's what I believe. I believe that you have to guard your heart, or you have to guard your mouth to guard your brother's heart. You have to guard your mouth to keep your brother. You have to guard your mouth. What comes out of your mouth, you have to guard 24/7, 365, because you, in doing so, you honor Scripture to protect and to love your neighbor. Man, that sounds like a full-time job. You know what's funny? Is that when we spend our life doing what we're supposed to do, we don't have time to do what we're not supposed to do. Because doing good is work. It's not natural. I naturally sit on the sofa. I got a lazy boy, for real. When I got done cutting my wood, my family had come home. I looked at them and said, I'm done. My wife got up this morning. She said, by the way, when you said last night you were done, you were like, done. You didn't do jack after that. And I'm like, I was honest. Anybody ever been that tired where you're done? Like, you're like, I don't have anything left. Sometimes getting through my day and just doing right, being everything that God called me to, is exhausting. Because in the moment when you're getting ready to gossip, you want to do it so bad, and you'll give yourself every reason to do it. Every justification. You'll even lie to you to do it. Scripture says this. It says, man, you can't. Because just like with Adam and Eve and their kids, and when Cain killed Abel, and when Judas betrays Jesus, and in the book of James and in Galatians, I can take you throughout Scripture. Man, over and over again, when we have behaviors that go unchecked, it always leads to death. It always leads to betrayal. And if we're going to be our brother's keeper, if we're really going to be what God called us to be, we have to guard our mouth first and bear burdens later. Does that make sense? I'm here to bear your burden, but I'm going to make sure before I even try to pick up your problem that I got my mouth in check. Because if I pick up your problem without having my mouth in check, all I have is ammunition to fire the gun of gossip. Does that make any sense? Now, this is not a shout you down message. This is the worst one. The next two get much better. Fair enough? When I read this, though, I looked at the Lord and said, Lord, if I gossip, even unknowingly, will you show it to me? Can I tell you the problem with that prayer? It's dangerous. Because I was guilty of it. Not in big ways. Just a little here and a little there. Maybe you're not the world's biggest gossip. Maybe you are. Here's what I'm going to say. If you're not part of the solution, if God didn't send you there to heal and to restore, then your only job is to pray. Keep your mouth shut. Isn't it funny how we judge things without knowing the details? It's like this. People go, I can't believe how crazy you praise. You can't believe what kind of ditch I was in when God found me. The two are kind of relative to each other. You don't know what I've had to have God do for me this week. Don't complain about the alabaster that I pour out on Jesus' feet when you don't understand what he did for me. Does this make any sense? You can't judge somebody's problem without all the details. And the problem is you're never going to have their details. But God does. So my job is to love you. Encourage you. If I see you going off the rails, I'm going to tell you. And I hope you do the same too. To each other, to me even. Hey, Pastor, I love you, man, but, you know, maybe you shouldn't flip tables. I'm just saying. Because here's the reality. I'm my brother's keeper. I'm my sister's keeper. I'm not responsible for your actions, but I'm responsible to build you up because I love you. In church, we call each other brother and sister, but don't call me your brother. Don't call me your sister if you're not there for me. Don't call me your brother and sister if you don't love me. Don't call me your brother and sister if you're not going to tell me the truth, even when it costs both of us. Because that's real family. See, a family can have problems inside of itself, but don't let anybody else mess with us. Anybody grew up in that kind of family? Look, man, I grew up rural. We'll beat the tar out of each other, but if you come, the whole family will jump on you and beat you with sticks. Now you understand Christianity. We're going to work through our internal problems, but when the devil shows up, we'll beat him with a stick. And I'm just going to say this, the devil will show up in gossip, because gossip starts in pride, goes to division, and ends in factions. It's the whole way it works. I'm going to tell you this as the pastor, it won't exist in a church that I pastor. Can I get an amen from somebody? Because I love you, and we're going to be healthy. I won't put up with a little bit of cancer in my body. I won't put up with a little in the church. People go, well, do we have a big problem with it? No, but why am I going to wait till we do? That sounds stupid. Well, I'll just smoke till I get cancer, and then I'll stop. I'll just gossip. And no, that's not. We're gonna head it off before we ever get there. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for an opportunity to be in your house today. God, let us honor you with our mouth. God, I want to praise you with my mouth. I want to build up your creation, which is my brother and sister. God, I am my brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. So Father, this morning, if we're guilty of gossip, if we're guilty of the sin of talking about your creation, God, first of all, we're sorry. We repent. We won't do it anymore. God, if we're doing it in some area and we don't even see it, God, will you reveal it to us? Not because you don't love us, but because you do. If you're here today and you're in-house or you're online and maybe you've never accepted Jesus, maybe you're not where you're supposed to be at all, will you just slip your hand up? I'd love to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't do any of that. I just thank you so much. Online and in-house, if you had the courage to raise your hand in that moment, will you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Today I confess I'm a sinner and I need your grace. Make me right with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.